Good morning and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Viggs and I want to thank God for each and every one of you this morning. Let's get started as always with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14 this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all the glory for this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we pray this Colossians prayers over ourselves from the day we heard of it. We have not ceased to pray and to make a special request asking that we may be filled with a full, deep and clear knowledge of your will. In all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things, I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper, and clear insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of your glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance, and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you have qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. And we thank you that you have delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control and the dominion of darkness, and you have transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Well, we want to look at, we've been talking about the anointing. We've also been talking about the fact that, you know, Jesus said to his disciples that unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. This is in Mark chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And then he says that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. So when you and I received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were ushered into a realm where we were able to understand or take delivery of certain keys that Jesus has given. He actually said to us that, you know, that he's given us the keys of the kingdom. And so whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now those keys, the kingdom of God operates on several keys, which open doors that we need to open. One of these keys, symbolize knowledge. You know, in his day, in Luke chapter 11, verse 52, Jesus was speaking to the lawyers of his day. At that time, he says, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge." So in the kingdom of God, whatever key, you know, thing, there's keys that symbolize knowledge. And when you take that key and appropriate it and apply it to any area of your life and you receive the adequate insight on that issue, it gives you authority to determine what happens here on this earth. Because remember, to us it has been given to know. And not only that, you and I have also we were given authority and power and dominion to rule on this earth, to reign on this earth. So one of the keys is that if you study the word of God, you find that God operates on covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God. And, you know, it's important that you understand the covenants. These covenants come with condition. There's conditions, certain things that, you know, desire or we pray about. If we understand the covenant that is attached to whatever issue we're dealing with, then we will understand, you know, how to pray about that issue instead of just praying one general prayer for everything. First of all, you know, you always need to understand the covenant that, you know, God has. There's several covenants in the Bible. It's not just one. The covenant is like a contract. It involves two or more people. And in this case, most of the covenants involve us and God. He's the one who initiates the covenant, and we are the ones who are the beneficiaries of that covenant. You see, a covenant, unlike a promise, is a vow that cannot be broken. And once the required conditions have been met, with a promise, it can easily be broken. But with a covenant, you can't break it. There's covenants of marriage. There's, you know, that's why when God initiated marriage, you know, after man fell, God, when he made them, the Bible tells us clearly that when he made man and woman, in the beginning, he made them as one. However, when they, disobeyed God and were kicked out of the garden, that disobedience caused a separation between God. Now, the only way God was to bring back man and woman into being one was that now man had to leave his mother and his father's house and cleave to his wife, and the two would become one through the covenant of marriage. So prior to that, there was no need for that because they were both one. But now they had the covenant of marriage. So we see that there. But there's so many covenants. Like I said, today I want us to focus on the covenant of what the Bible writes about in our English version as peace. However, if you read the original Hebrew, it's always shalom. And shalom is not just peace. We may see it when in times of war, when, you know, after the people came back, came back from fighting wars, and the Bible said, and the land had peace and rest. That's talking about shalom. Now, God has given us this this peace, not only for the Old Testament, but I did take an Old Testament verse, which, you know, we are using as our foundation for this teaching. In Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 26, he says, I will make, and this is God speaking, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will give the blessings to them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Amen. So I will make a covenant of peace with them. That covenant of peace is God making that covenant with us. Now, first of all, you have to understand that God says in Psalm 89, verse 34, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. So God is very committed to his covenant. His commitment to whatever covenant he makes is so strong that he cannot alter it. He cannot change it. Amen. So it's stronger than anything else that you will find in the Word of God. There's nothing that can change the covenant that God enters into or God initiates with man. It's as eternal as night and day. In Jeremiah 33 and verse 20 through 21, the Bible says, thus says the Lord God, if you can break my covenant of day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So again, here he's saying, if we can break his covenant of the day and the covenant of the night, then that there should be no day or night, then whatever other covenant, not only with the covenant of David, but whatever other covenant that God has entered into with man can be broken. Amen. But you see, the Bible is loaded with promises, but also, you know, with certain conditions that must be met. And most of these conditions are fulfilled through covenant. Once you locate the covenant demands in any area and you do them, you'll find that the struggles you have in that particular area will be over. It is guaranteed victory. Amen. Once you understand the covenant. Now, the reason why we want to talk about the covenant of peace or the covenant of shalom is because that Jesus, we call him the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Shalom. And shalom in the Greek is the word sozo. And the word sozo has many possible meanings, including safe and sound, healed, delivered, made whole, rescued, restored, and saved. It's the word, peace means soundness, means wholeness, means completeness. And so when we read it from the New Testament version, and even in the Old Testament, it's always speaking of wholeness. It's always speaking of being sound, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. It includes salvation. Salvation, not just, being saved and accepting Jesus Christ and missing hell. It's talking about, you having everything that you need, you being made whole, you being, you having soundness, you having safety, you being healed, you being delivered, you being rescued, you being restored, all that. It's, being complete, being made whole. And if you start reading the Bible based on that understanding, you understand anytime where you see the peace of God, you understand that God is talking about his shalom. In fact, the Jewish people, they, you know, greet each other in Aramaic, shalom, shalom, or Hebrew and Aramaic, shalom, shalom, all the time. They are actually saying, you know, speaking to each other, asking about, are you whole? That's what they mean. Are you whole? Are you complete? You know, and so it's not just peace like, okay, I just want the peace that passes all understanding in terms of I don't want to have any disturbances. No, it's not that kind of peace. Leave me to be in peace. You know, that's what we usually say. Don't disturb me. I just want to be quiet. No, it talks about more than that. In fact, when Jesus, before he left, as he was, you know, before he was crucified and he went back, you know, to heaven, he was having a discussion, you know, at the Last Supper with his disciples. You know, he took time to teach them so much. I mean, when you read the book of John, you know, from John chapter 15, actually, in fact, before 15, if you read the Bible from verse 13 all the way through 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and then he prays. In John chapter 17 is when he prays for them to the Father. But from chapter 13 all the way to chapter 16, you'll see how he took much time to just teach them and teach them and teach them and speak to them. That's when he spoke to them about the Holy Spirit. But one of the things he said before he began to pray for them, you know, and spoke to the Father, because in John chapter 17, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and started and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify and exalt and honor and magnify your Son, so that your Son may glorify and extol and honor and magnify you. Now, this is in John 17. He's now directing his prayer to the Lord. But in verse 16, he speaks to them and he's saying, but, you know, verse, well, John chapter 16, verse 32 and 33, he says, but take notice, the hour is coming and it has arrived when you will all be dispersed and scattered, every man to his own home, leaving me alone, yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Then he says in verse 33, this is key. He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain and daunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Now, if you read that actual verse with the understanding, the Hebrew understanding of peace, Jesus is saying, verse 32, and the time has come when you will all be scattered and each one of you will go your own way, leaving me alone. That there was to fulfill the prophecy of Zechariah in verse 13, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. So that's, you know, because remember the Bible, most of the translations that we read now in the New Testament is Greek translation, but you can always, sometimes if you use your concordance, it'll show you the Hebrew meaning. But most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew Aramaic. And so Jesus would not speak to them in the Greek. He would mostly speak to them in Hebrew or Aramaic. And so then it says, yet I'm never alone, for the Father is always with me. Now, I want us to focus on verse 33. And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I have conquered the world. So what he's saying is that, you know, I've taken the power this world has to defeat you. And he's basically saying he's taken the power that the world has to defeat us and has conquered it for us. So the peace he's talking about here, he says, I've taught you so that the peace, he says, for, you know, and everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me, meaning that peace in him is the victory in him. We must rest in his victory. So going back to when God talks about, oh, you know, when we see the word sozo, which is the Greek word, that peace that Jesus is talking about, he's saying that the peace in me, meaning at this, in verse 33, in John 16, 33, he's talking about the victory that is in him, that he's already, you know, won for us. Before he goes to the cross, he's telling them, I've already won the victory for you. So that you may, in me, you may have perfect peace. You may have perfect victory. You may be whole. You may be safe, sound. You may be restored. You may be saved. You may be delivered and healed. All that. Why? Because the peace that is in me, he's saying to us that because the peace that is in me has already, you know, when you rest in the peace that is in me, then you will have the victory. This is what John 16:33 is telling us. Now, I want to show you through an account in Mark chapter 5. We know this from the different gospels, but I like reading it from Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, this is the story of the woman with the issue of blood. We all know it very well. I'll begin reading it from verse 25, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and I'll read it to you from a translation, that has been translated from Aramaic, and I'll read it in English, of course, but exactly how it's been translated from Aramaic. So let's first start it in the way we would read it in the English, translated from the Greek point of view. And so from the Greek point of view, it says, excuse me, there was this woman. It's pretty much the same, but there's certain things that you have to understand when you read it from English. That's why it's important that you have a Bible concordance so that you can, you know, check up some of those words. So in Mark 5:25 through all the way through 34, this is the Amplified version. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of a distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. So we read that, and we know that, and there's several different accounts we'll look at throughout the week where we see Jesus talking about go in peace. But I want you to hear it. Let me read it. It's the same exact chapter, Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 and all the way through 34. Now in the crowd that day was a woman who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of doctors. But before we go further, let me see. Verse 25, I want to look at the word. There was a woman in the crowd who had suffered horribly from continual bleeding for 12 years. So because immediately, you know, Jesus, remember, had been walking with Jairus, and Jairus was taking Jesus to his house. He says, my little daughter is at the point of death, and she's only 12 years old. Come lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. So I want you to see the significance. The daughter of Jairus was 12 years old. This woman had suffered for 12 years. Jesus touched the girl. The woman touched Jesus. So how do I arrive at all this? It's through studying it from now. When you go deeper into like the Bible concordance, that you look at the Hebrew Bibles and all that stuff, you'll find out they give you the commentary and stuff. So this is the commentary. The daughter of Jairus was 12 years old. This woman had suffered for 12 years. Jesus touched the girl. The woman touched Jesus. The two intertwining miracles in this chapter speak of Jesus healing the Gentiles and raising Israel back to life. So Jairus' Jewish daughter, Jairus was a Jewish daughter. On his way to raise the Jewish girl, Jesus stopped to heal the Gentile woman. This is what is happening today with Jews and non-Jews. So this is what this means, actually. So most of the times we read that, but we don't understand, you know, what exactly is happening. Even when you read about the where it says in our Bibles, usually it doesn't say she's only 12 years old. This is actually taken from verse 42. You know, if you go further, where it's and is brought in at this sequence of the narrative for the sake of clarity and in contrast with the woman who suffered for 12 years. That's why we see that. So there's this woman who suffered for 12 years. Then, let's continue. She had endured a great deal under the care of various doctors, yet in spite of spending all that she had on their treatments, she was not getting better but worse. When she heard about Jesus' healing power, she pushed through the crowd and came up from behind him and touched his prayer shawl. That's what it was. As a Jewish man, Jesus would have had over his shoulders a prayer shawl, a tallit. The blue tassel on the corner of the prayer shawl was said to symbolize all of the commandments and promises of God. This is what is, you can find this in Numbers 15, 38 through 40. The Hebrew word for fringe or border or of a garment can also mean a wing. Some have interpreted Malachi 4:2, healing in the wings, as a reference to the tassels of the prayer shawl. So you see, we have to fully understand. Sometimes we think that the woman went and just touched the clothes, the, you know, his long robe that he was wearing. But actually, when you study it out, you find that it's talking about how the woman touched his prayer shawl. And so she may have touched his tallit, you know. And so let's continue from there. For she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed. Now, when you study that word healed out there, that particular word there is the word, the Greek word sozo, which includes, remember, she had spent all that she had, meaning she had spent all her money. So she was not just looking for bodily healing, but she also wanted restoration. Well, that healed word there, it meant she was looking for, you know, she wanted safety. She wanted to be sound in her body. She wanted to be healed. She wanted to be delivered. She wanted to be made whole. She wanted to be rescued and restored and saved. And because that's what Jesus came to do for us in this day, and he still does that for us in this day, that's what she was talking about. She just didn't talk about just partial healing of just physical healing, but she wanted every area of her life to be made whole. As soon as her hand touched him, her bleeding immediately stopped. She knew it, for she could feel her body instantly being healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that someone had touched him, for he felt the power that had always surged around him. This is a literal reading of a unique phrase in Greek construction. It could be translated, the power that keeps going out of him went out from him. There was a glorious power that kept going out around Jesus Christ, drawing others to him and healing those he touched. And in this case, healing a woman who touched him in faith. Jesus knew that the power of God was always emanating around him, yet it had flowed through him to someone in the crowd. This same miracle was repeated with Peter in Acts 5, verse 15. So, okay, so he turned. He knew that, you know, this power had always, you know, somebody had touched him. Amen. And so let's continue. So Jesus knew it at once that someone had touched him, for he felt that power always surged around him, had passed through him for someone to be healed. He turned and spoke to the crowd, saying, "Who touched my clothes?" That one there, we are told that Jesus already knew the answer to his question. He wanted the woman to come forward and acknowledge her healing. There were crowds around Jesus, the living word. Many today crowd around the written word, but only those who touch the scriptures in faith receive its promises, just like the sick woman who received her healing. Then let's continue. His disciples answered, "What do you mean, who touched you? Look at this huge crowd. They're all pressing up against you." Verse 32, Jesus' eyes swept across the crowd, looking for the one who had touched him for healing. When the woman who experienced this miracle, so that miracle there, it's translated that miracle from Aramaic. It's not Greek. It's an Aramaic miracle. It realized what had happened to her. She can, what do I mean by that? That who had experienced this, you know, sozo, or this, the Greek word would be the sozo there, who had experienced this deliverance, you know, so that miracle is that deliverance. This woman, when the woman who had experienced this deliverance, we can say it that way in English, realized what had happened to her, that's the miracle there. She came before him trembling with fear and threw herself down at his feet, saying, "I was the one who touched you." And she told him her story of what had just happened. Verse 34, I want us to pay attention to that. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering." What does that peace there, what is the peace he's talking about there? It's that same Greek word, sozo. Go with peace. In Amplified, it says, go into peace, meaning enter into shalom. That's what the peace there is saying. Shalom there meaning be complete, be made whole, be sound. This is what he was talking about. That wholeness there is not talking about, you know, when God talks about wholeness or going peace or going sound, he's not talking about one particular area. Remember, not only did she require physical healing of her body, but she also needed money. She had spent all that she had. And then in the day that she was, you know, in the time she was growing up or in the time that she was in, she was rejected because she was unclean. So not only did she need just healing of her body, but she needed to be restored back to the community because of her uncleanness. She needed to be made clean. Not only that, she needed to have restoration of all that she had spent on the doctors. And so that wholeness, when Jesus said, be made whole or your faith has made you whole, go in peace because you've dared to believe. Why did he say you've dared to believe? Because in that time, she could have been stoned for being out and making everybody unclean. And Jairus was the one who could have ordered, you know, that stoning of her to, you know, that would have ordered for her to be stoned to death. But he said, you dared to believe. She stepped out in faith and your faith has healed you. That healing there is your faith has made you enter into a covenant of shalom, a covenant of peace, where you are not only just healed outwardly, but you are healed inwardly. You are made whole. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. There's nothing lacking, not only physically, but materially, you know, socially. Everything had to be restored. And so this woman, we see Jesus spoke to her because of her faith. She entered the covenant of shalom. And so because we're out of time today, we'll continue tomorrow. I just wanted to give you the different, you know, backgrounds to understand when you just read something from just the English version or English translations, you might miss a lot of stuff. I like Amplified Classic Version because it actually translates a lot of stuff from the Greek or from, you know, from the Hebrew or from, you know, from the Greek words. So it tells us what it is in the Greek, or it tells us, like, when I read here, regularly it would say go in peace, but they add go in parentheses, they say into. So it's not just go in peace, but enter into peace. You'll find that in the Bible, even in the Old Testament, you know, after the people came back from war, it would be spoken that they entered into a covenant of peace with the Lord. You know, so when you the covenant of peace or the covenant of shalom, you have to enter into it. The woman with the issue of blood stepped, she dared to believe, she took a step of faith to enter into the covenant of shalom. It's not something just that just happens because you say it out of your mouth. It happens because you take a step of faith. Like Jesus said to her, you dare to believe, you know, and so that's how she entered into this covenant of wholeness, of peace, of soundness, you know, of restoration. And so by God's grace, we'll continue tomorrow morning and looking at other accounts in the Bible. I pray you are blessed this morning and you all have a blessed and prosperous day. Bye-bye.